Amen. Good to see you here this morning. I'm so blessed to be with you and excited. This is going to be a two-part message in a sense. There's two things going on today, but I want to talk first of all about the leader within. You know, I believe that each one of us are called to leadership. And here's why I believe this. You know, as a parent, I have five children, and now we have eight grandchildren. And I have seen leadership qualities in each and every one of them. For example, the girls, they when they were little, 2-3 years old, they would grab me by the hand, and even if I was doing something, they would say, "No, Daddy, you got to come with me." And they would take me. And you know where they took me to? To a little short table, and I had to sit in a little chair, and they had all the little teacups set up. And not only did I have to sit there, but I had to hold the teacup properly, you know, sticking my finger out, you know, I had to do all of that. They directed me, and in fact, they told me how long I had to sit there, which seemed like forever, so they were what? They were practicing leadership skills, and they were just born with that. And I think of my boys, you know, when they wanted to play catch or whatever, they grab me by the hand again and take me out and say, "Dad, do it this way." You know, they were telling me how to play baseball. It's okay, you know, but the point is that they were what? Exercising leadership skills. I believe that we're all born with leadership built into us. If God is a leader, and He is, we were made in His image and in His likeness. And so here's the dilemma or the problem for some of us. We all had that when we were born, but somewhere along the way, for some of us, we got beat up. We got told, like that song talks about, we're not good enough. We're unable, you know, and add some more adjectives onto that. And all of a sudden, those leadership skills that were just budding, you know, just trying to do something, gets crushed. And so for many, that leadership development never grows. It's just kind of put by the wayside. And so here's what I want to tell you. As a believer in Christ, you get to do a do-over. You're able to say, hold it. I had this, and God says I've got this, so I'm going to continue to develop it. And so that's what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes is how you can take the leader within you and make it come to the outside, so to speak. And I want to give you three foundational truths before we move on to our second thing that we're going to be doing. And the first thing that you need to understand to be a leader is that you need to be proactive. You may have been born with some giftings on your life to be a leader, but let me tell you something. You've got to continue to develop it. You know, I look at my one granddaughter now, and she's, I think, 12 years old. You know, she's 12 going on 30. And so literally, she is developing the leadership skills and pushing, you know, everybody around her to the boundaries, you know, in leading. And the thing is, that's what you and I have to do. You can't just sit in an armchair somewhere and say, I want to become a better leader. You know, you have to develop it. You have to do some things. So let me show you a scripture that just talks about this very thing. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, it says this. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and he's just talking about, you know, the call that's on his life. But he's talking about each and every one of us as well. He says what? I press towards the goal. That word press actually means to pursue. In other words, there's going to be pressure against you. You know, how many people have done some running in their life at one point or another? I don't run as much as I used to. But, you know, back in the day, I used to run a lot. I remember being able to run, you know, 3-4 miles and not be out of breath. That I can run only about 3 or 4 feet now. And anyway, but let's not go down that road. But the point is that you know, but there's effort. For me to be able to do that, I couldn't just start running and do it easily. You have to do what? You run a certain distance. And then the next time you run a little further, you develop that running ability in your life. Well, it's the same for leadership. Here, it talks about I press towards the goal. There's going to be things that will try to hold you back from pursuing and pushing on towards what? It says here, a goal for the prize. Now, that word goal is a very interesting word. You think, well, a goal for the prize. What does that really mean? In the original language, that word goal actually means, and I'm going to say something else, and you might say, what's that mean? Sentry point. Now, when you have a sentry, not a century, a sentry. Sorry about my Canadianese, but a sentry. What is a sentry? It's someone that stands usually up in the air, usually in some kind of tower or a place where they can observe what's going on around. And literally, that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. I press towards the goal. I press for a sentry place, a place where I can see the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, we have to do what? Position ourselves to hear from God, to hear what He has to say for us. And so part of leadership is doing that, positioning yourself. And we can position ourselves in leadership far easier than we could even 30 years ago. You know, 30 years ago, if you wanted to learn about leadership, you'd have to go where? You'd have to go to school somewhere. You'd have to attend a class somewhere, go to a seminar somewhere. Do you know that there's amazing tools for leadership growth available right on YouTube and Vimeo and other places? Good stuff. In fact, I would encourage all of us, including me, that some of the time wasted just kind of tooling around on the internet to say, look, I'm going to allocate 1 hour to growing and developing my own personal life. And word of encouragement, do that for the first hour. Don't think you're going to tack it on at the end because it won't ever happen, all right? You know, put God first. You know, put developing yourself first, about being proactive first, and come to a place of just growing. Again, there's opportunities here at church that we do for leadership. There's opportunities online. What I'm talking to you about, listen to me. What I'm talking to you about, this isn't just about church. This is about your life. This is about, you know, when you're at work, when you're at school, when you're at home with your family. All of us are called to lead at all various levels. And you might say, well, at my job, there's no one under me. I am the underling. You know, I'm at the bottom of the barrel. Here's the thing. You may not have anyone to lead physically, but you have an opportunity to lead people to Jesus, to be a light for Him. In other words, all of us are called to lead, you know, in the natural and in the spirit realm, or a combination of the two. The question is, have you even thought about it? And that's actually one of the biggest issues, is to realize you have this gift, you have this ability, God has called you to lead, and we need to act upon it. So being proactive is so, so important. Let's move on to the next one. All right, the next one is this. You need to be aware. Scripture says this in John 16, verse 13. Jesus is speaking, and He says, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He would tell you things to come. And so Jesus, when He said this, hadn't yet died on the cross of Calvary. The Holy Spirit hadn't yet come. So He's speaking in future tense. He says, when the Holy Spirit does come. Well, how many people know the Holy Spirit has come, all right? You know, some 2,000 years ago. So now, if we put it to today, He's saying, look, the Holy Spirit has come, and He will do what? Guide you onto all truth. He will tell you of things to come. So here's the question. Are you aware, as a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you? And not only that He not only lives in you, He wants to guide you and direct you in life. But we have to have an awareness. In a sense, we have to open our spiritual ears and open our spiritual eyes and have a heart to kind of comprehend that He's there and wants to speak to us. I don't know about you, but, you know, you've heard the term a New York minute. You know, and us New Yorkers, we understand what that means. You know, time here is, you know, in fact, if it hasn't happened already, we're angry. Like, come on. Like, that's, you know, that you're even thinking, okay, Carl, I get it. Get on now. So you're already in New York minute wanting me to move on. And so that's just how we think. But here's the thing. We need to be listening to the Spirit of God. And sometimes that means we have to wait. That is hard for us New Yorkers to do. You know, we want it yesterday. But the thing is, part of following the Lord Jesus Christ is having the patience to wait. If you don't wait, let me tell you something. You'll have second best or worse. You want to wait on the Lord because He has the best for you and I. So having that awareness of the Spirit of God and His presence, that's number one in the area of awareness. You also need to be aware that you have an enemy that wants to devour you, goes about like a roaring lion, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to eat you up, chew you up, and spit you out. That's what the enemy wants to do. You need to be aware of that, not scared of it, aware of him. And realize that he's there trying to do that. But as you follow the voice of Jesus, you don't have to worry about him. But being aware of it. We also need to have an awareness of the people around us. You see, if you want to become a mature leader, it's not about you anymore. It's about everybody else. I can't tell you how many times I've counseled couples and the one or the other or both of them, every sentence is I. And when they finally stop, I say, look, you know, if you want to be a couple and you want to function in a godly way, it's not about you. It's about the other person, and it's about Jesus. And most of them look at me saying, you're crazy, because right away they start saying, but I. And I'm like, stop saying I. You know, it's like the only language, you know, only letter in the alphabet they know almost. It's like, you got to lay that aside, because true leadership, true awareness is actually caring and loving for the people around you more than about yourself. You remember there was a cruise ship, the Concordia? Remember, and it sank, you know, it was over in off Greece or Italy, over in there. And I don't know whether you followed the account I did. It happened a couple years ago. And what happened, you know, that the ship came too close to shore, wasn't even supposed to be in that area, scraped along the rocks, you know, basically cut a gash in the ship. And the ship didn't actually sink, but it sank, you know, and laid on its side. But everyone was freaking out, you know, jumping off the boat to get to shore. It was at night, you know, it was a scary experience for everyone involved. Do you know who jumped into the first life raft? The captain. Okay, you ever heard the term, you know, the last man down with the ship is the captain? So what was he concerned about? Saving his own butt. Literally on the first life raft, he's on it and he's on shore. Like, that is not our attitude as a true leader. And by the way, he got in serious trouble for that. I don't think he's even ever going to be in charge of a rowboat from this point on. You know, but the point is, for you and I, we need to realize that true leadership is not about us, but about them, or about him, or about her. You know, it's not about look at me, look at what I've become. Not as a believer, not as a Christian leader, as a person in Christ that's a leader. Not about that. It's actually about look at him and look at what he's done. It's a change. And it's not natural for you and I. It's not a natural thing for us to give glory to someone else rather than ourselves. It's a challenge. But as we grow in Christ, as we understand true leadership, it's about following him. In fact, I dare say this, that though leadership begins with following Jesus, it ends with following Jesus as well. In other words, if you want to be a good leader, you have to be what? A good follower of Jesus. So though we start by being good followers, we have to carry on being good followers even when we become good leaders. You get where I'm going with this? Because the closer you are to Jesus, the better leader you will become. Because you're not hearing just for yourself. You're hearing the voice of the Spirit for those around you, for your spouse, for your loved ones, for your classmates. You know, whatever circumstance. How about those people at work that drive you crazy? They need Jesus. They do, all right? They're lost, and they're floundering, you know, literally drowning and trying to figure out life on their own without Jesus. And God has called you, possibly, to lead them to Christ. And it begins how? I wouldn't just run over to them and say, hey, my pastor just told me that I have to talk to you, and you need to accept Jesus. You could try that, and if it works, hey, kudos to you. But here's where it begins. You go to prayer. And you say, I just lift up that individual. And you begin to pray and intercede for that person. Because let me tell you something. The battle over their soul is won in the Spirit. It's not by your creative and crafty words and how you structure your sentences and all that. None of that matters. I remember the first time I led someone to Christ, I was scared to death. My words were all flumbled and literally mixed up and scrambled. If I had listened to myself, I wouldn't have got saved. If you know what I'm saying. But that person was being drawn by the Spirit of God. And literally, when I finished doing my horrible talk and trying to share Jesus, you know, in all my fear and intrepidation, the person says, look, just tell me what I got to do. Yeah, yeah, literally, the person was like, yeah, again, New York minute, right? Just shut up, tell me what to do. And I just told the person, and I said, okay. And it was done, just like that. And so I encourage you as a leader to be a follower of Christ is your highest priority of all. So what are the 2 points that I've talked about? I've talked about what? Being proactive. And what was the second point? Being aware. And my final point, the third point is this. You must be faithful. And again, this isn't just for church. This is in relationships. This is job. This is everything. And so let's look at the scripture. 1 Timothy 1:12. The Apostle Paul says this, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. This is my most favorite scripture of all. It's kept me and held me over the years. I remember when I was transitioning from Canada to move to the U.S., you know, leaving my job, you know, the family farm, family business, leaving all of that to move here. And I remember walking out in the field and I said, Lord, I don't have anything to offer. I have no gifts. I have no talents. You know, I listened to some of these guys, you know, that around me and ministers and preachers. And I'm like, nah, I can't do it, you know. So I was having those second thoughts. Anybody had, you know what you should do, but you're having those second thoughts. And I was just telling that to the Lord. And so I said, Lord, you know, I don't have any, you know, gifts or talents. And you know what? I was hoping to get, you know, assurance from Jesus. Here's how he answered. He said, so? It really wasn't the answer I was looking for. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, Jesus, you're really not helping me here in this move. You know, I'm literally leaving where I've been for the first 30 years of my life to move to another country. I'm uprooting my family. No one understands, you know, and I'm doing this. Can I have a little help here, please? And then he began to talk to me. He said, son, well, what are we doing right now? I said, well, I'm talking to you. And here's what he said to me, and it's set the stage and the tone of my life from that point to now. Here's what he said to me. He said, son, just take what we talk about and tell them about it. And I said, that's it? He says, yeah, in fact, don't tell them more than what I don't tell you. And I said, okay. And that's how I've lived my life from that point till now. Now, have I messed up? Lots. Made lots of mistakes, made lots of wrong turns, all of that. But the point is, if you pop that scripture back up again, is that as you look at this scripture, it makes it very clear that God isn't calling the gifted people or the talented people. Here's the thing. God can give anyone a gift just like that. You know, we know that from the gifts of the Spirit. He can, they're right there. They're from him. But one thing God can't give you and I is character. And so look at this. Paul's making that very point. He's saying, look, I thank Christ Jesus the Lord who has what? Enabled me. Says, God has done this. In other words, he's giving all glory to God that he's been empowered or enabled. Why? Not because he was gifted or talented, but because he counted me faithful, full of faith, putting me into the ministry. In other words, one of the greatest foundational truths for you to be a good leader, for me to be a good leader, is to be faithful to the voice of God, to be faithful to his calling, to be faithful in character of who Jesus is, that we literally imitate him and follow him in every way. Because God can give you a gift just like that. He can give you a talent just like that. But he cannot give you faithfulness. Because faithfulness is a character that you develop in your life. Amen? So what are the three areas that for a leader to grow in? Being proactive, being aware, and being faithful.